Now I'm here with Ken Morton. As a Ken Morton Jr., VP of Retail and Marketing for Morton Golf. How you doing, Ken?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing good.
I'm glad you are here. Now, I heard a rumor that this last month has been a little bit difficult. What's going on over there?
Just a series of events that we had out at our flagship property, which is Hagen Oaks Golf Course. So Easter Sunday, we do a big Easter egg hunt and free pancake breakfast. We feed about 3,000 to 4,000 people free pancakes.
Whoa.
And then have an egg hunt for about 1,200 kids. And then we put the largest.
Nobody invited me. Free pancakes, Ken. Okay.
Next Easter.
I want to get on your
Easter
list.
Easter 2020.
Okay.
You're,
right.
You're first
Sorry
in line.
Run.
Totally.
Okay.
And then the last weekend of April, we put on the largest consumer golf event in the world. We get about 25,000 people out over 3 days, have about 190 vendors out there. And then this last Monday and Tuesday, we host a country music festival in Pro-Am golf tournament right on the golf course that raises about $125,000 for charity. So it's
wow.
been 3 weeks of hustling.
Which one of those three are you most proud of?
Probably our Golf and Guitars Music Festival. We just finished up year 12. We've raised about $1.2 million for local charities and college scholarships for youth and charities benefiting those with disabilities. And that's, you know, if you're going to kind of leave a legacy behind, it's probably there.
Yeah. So legacy, give us an overview of the organization and where you started, and maybe just give us a little bit of that path, and maybe it'll lead into legacy.
Yeah, for sure. For me, it's really easy. My dad is in his 61st year there at the golf course, and working at the Hagen Oaks Golf Course is all I've ever known. I started out there when I was 8 years old, giving change on the driving range, driving the picker at 10. I was a starter at age 12, and here at the ripe old age of 47, I'm in my 39th year of employment there at the golf course. So,
wow.
You know, there's not a job there at the course I haven't done. And that includes, you know, washing dishes and tending the bar at one point or another. So, he's the most awarded PGA golf professional in the history of the PGA of America. He's won 5 national awards. And for my brother and I, who he works there at the course too, there's this kind of unique generational compass that we just kind of follow in his footsteps. And it's fairly unique. You know, the golf course was built back in 1932. The original head pro there, Tom Lopresti, was there 61 years. And he hired my dad back in 1958. They became partners shortly thereafter. And Tom, again, retired back around 1993. From the city's perspective, they've had one continuous lessee since the course opened back in the 30s.
The Mortons hang on. I mean, dad, brothers, like you lock on to something, you're just, you don't let go, do you?
Well, we talk a little bit about legacy, the passion for golf and introducing people to the game of golf and, through our foundation, being able to use golf as a rehabilitation tool for those with disabilities and Special Olympics and veterans and those that have had strokes. And I mean, there's so many really cool avenues that the game can really take and do really good good in the world. That while the business portion helps pay the bills, the foundation and the passion project is really what kind of motivates us these
wow.
days, especially for my dad and where he is in his life. So
yeah, well, interesting. When my son was shot, you might have heard me mention that earlier. He was shot in Afghanistan, and he's a wounded warrior. So he's in this wounded warrior battalion going through his rehab. So as he was sort of limping around on crutches after surgeries and so on, one of the things they did is they offered a golf opportunity with golf pros,
yep.
real pros in San Diego, and he actually became a pretty good golfer, which is kind of interesting. But I do think you're right. It was very therapeutic. So I have to imagine that, you know, is there a certain program that does that at Hagen Oaks?
Actually, it's a program called PGA Hope. It started actually here in Northern California with our local Northern California PGA section. We were one of the very first sites to have it. It's now expanded nationally. The PGA actually gives a national award now called the Patriot Award for the golf professional that kind of dives deepest into the program and impacts the most amount of lives in and around them. It's a fascinating project. At our Golf and Guitars Music Festival last week, we actually set aside one of the foursomes that get to play with one of the country music artists, and then bring them up on stage to honor them. Wow. And we've had, you know, those that have, you know, been forced to play golf in, we call them UFO carts. They're carts that can drive through traps and on greens, and it actually lifts them up and allows them to play golf from a cart. So those that don't have any mobility from the waist down actually can play. We wow. have, you know, amputees, and then, you know, those dealing with PTSD and things that you can't see right out of the gate. And then as a surprise to them, we actually gift them with a full set of golf clubs and a fitting at the very end. And it's a really special part of our entire event because they get a standing ovation from the 3,500 people in attendance, and you know, and they deserve it. They're our national heroes.
Yeah. Well, the country music industry is patriotic in nature. Who are the big stars that you've had out there?
Montgomery Gentry. This year we had Cody Johnson. We've had Jake Owen, Tracy Lawrence, Kix Brooks, and you know, the list goes on and on and on. It's 2 days. The first day is a big singer-songwriter showcase, so it's names you might not necessarily recognize, but as soon as they start singing their songs, you recognize mm-hmm. them. And then our big, we do a pro-am golf tournament on day two, and then the night of night two is when all the major country music artists come out and play.
Wow. Well, I mean, you mentioned the three things from last month, and the numbers that you threw out there, the amount of money raised, the amount of people in attendance, and so on. I mean, I didn't realize the size of the operation, but it's even bigger than what we're talking about now. Give us the totality of what's the size of the organization?
We have about 200 paid employees, okay. Of which about 80 to 100, depending on time of year, are full-time. We have another, the golf courses are owned by the city of Sacramento. We have a lease with the city to operate with them. We'll actually be hopefully signing a new 25-year lease with them in July. Which that in itself is unheard of in the golf business. They're usually year to year or at most 5-year leases because of the legacy you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier with my dad and our family. There's an incredible trust between the city of Sacramento and ourselves. So, you know, they feel confident in handing over the operations of the golf courses for extended times. But the city has a volunteer program that we're able to tap into as well. So in addition to that, a couple hundred paid employees, we've got almost 100 volunteers that we help. And they do things from marshaling out on the golf course as player assistants to being our tournament teams and helping us with a variety of different coaching elements as well.
So thinking about you know, a business like that, and you're signing the long term commitment. So your dad, he's not a young man.
No.
So you know, you and your brother are in your 40s. Both of you guys in your 40s.
We are.
So even a 25-year commitment for somebody in their 40s, that's significant in terms of like you'll be aging pretty well into that. Are you? Why go out so long? I mean, talk to us about that.
So as part of our lease with the city of Sacramento, we have an opportunity to do some capital improvements as part of our lease. Roughly about 2.5 cents of every dollar that's earned at the golf course goes into these CIP funds. And over that 25 years, that's going to really add up and allow us to provide a major investment in the infrastructure of some of these golf courses. You know, William Land Golf Course was built in 1924 and feels every day of its, you know, 90 years old. I mean, mm-hmm. these golf courses for a long time before we did maintenance, the reinvestment hadn't been up to speed as it would be for nearly any business. And so, over the next 10 to 15 years, there's some really wonderful new things that are going to be able to happen at the golf courses that have been way overdue with, you know, clubhouses and new irrigation systems and, you know, potentially new catering structures and those kind of things that we're really excited about. And, you know, we've been talking about for literally decades and all of the groundwork that we've done over the previous, you know, 10 to 20 years is really going to take forth.
How many golf courses are there?
There's 4 city golf courses.
Okay.
So Hagen Oaks Golf Complex is kind of the flagship. It's 36 holes. Bing Maloney Golf Course and Bartley Cavanaugh Golf Course are both down in South Sacramento. And then what a lot of people think of kind of the crown jewel is the little nine-hole golf course right there at William Lane Golf Course.
So it's more than operating a golf course, though. There's a retail component to this as well. So we're talk to us about the levels of focus. You do these big events. There's huge retail, and then there's golf. Maybe there's more.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you could figure we have four restaurants because we have four different golf courses. The Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop is a 15,000 square foot retail store. It's actually the largest on course volume golf store in the country. Maybe the world. We actually have a fitting studio that's right on the driving range. The driving range is open 24/7 from May 1st through Halloween. We have a huge catering wedding business there at two of the four golf courses. There's different elements of all kinds of different sub-businesses within the operations of a golf course. And lucky for us, we have some really talented people to kind of run each one of those departments.
Interesting. I have to imagine that, in entrepreneurship, you can chase so many shiny objects. You guys have stayed with golf and these golf courses for so long. While most of, I'd say, America, the world, we're looking on making things digital, going online. I might even envision an online golf store as something that could be a way that that's a shiny object I might chase if sure. I was in those kind of shoes. How do you keep it focused?
For us, there is that element going on. I mean, just up here in Roseville, there's Topgolf that's really taken golf to a whole new arena. And, for us, it gets back down to the relationship between the golfer and us. We have the benefit of having been in our community for a very long time. So those relationships that we've built with the area golf clubs and the people that run different tournaments through the different SIRS groups and the City Golf Council and each one of the courses hosts between 600 and 800 golf tournaments annually. The brides with what, again, when you extrapolate 61 years of those relationships, there's bound to be a really nice tie that binds. We're just continuing to build on what my dad started. But that ultimately that relationship, that promise that if you take care of those in your community, that they're going to promise to do the same back to you, that's proven to been correct in our situation.
Well, you've got to be like one of the most, probably the most connected guy in terms of golf in the region. Is there anybody more connected than you, your brother, and your dad?
And again, with our facility, it's unique. My dad helped design the National PGA Education Program. My brother is on the National Player Development Council for the PGA of America. I was the president of the Association of Golf Merchandisers. I'm on the board for the National Golf Buyers Association. Where sometimes you're more famous the further you get away from your city. We are on all of those, not to feed our ego, but because that allows us the resources and the education of things being done right outside our community so that we can bring back some of those elements back to Sacramento. Yeah.
What's the state of golf today? Is it at a high level? Has it declined? And I wonder how things like Top Golf or even the celebrity golfers, what impact do they have on the love of golf in America?
Yeah, the avid players has stayed fairly flat. We had this giant burst of new golfers called the Tiger Effect when he first came on the scene.
The good effect of
the
Tiger.
The good effect, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that has stayed fairly flat since then as an overall. Now,
When he had his ups and downs, did that affect people's appreciation for golf? Right, he had some personal challenges that he battled. Did that deteriorate golf as a respected sport?
Watching television on the weekends, definitely. Okay. Playing golf, not nearly as much.
Uh-huh.
But with what has been unique is that Top Golf element. Is someone who plays Top Golf avidly, are they a golfer? That's our industry still trying to figure that out. So we have this element of virtual golf, and in Japan, You have virtual golf studios and cafes where you can go have lunch and actually go play 18 holes at Pebble Beach. Yeah. They might not ever see a real golf course in their lifetime. Hmm. Do you count them as a golfer or not? And in our eyes, anybody that has an interest in the game, we count them as a golfer. Yeah. And from that aspect, the game is booming like it never has before. Yeah. Now, are they playing rounds? Are they coming out to the driving range and using it? I mean, our 24-hour driving range, we actually, this time of year, we're doing more range buckets when the sun's down than when the sun is up. There's all these millennials coming out. They're bringing out a pizza. They're, you know, sharing a foursome of hitting balls out there at 11 o'clock midnight. They might not ever play nine holes of golf in their whole life, but they come out 3-4 days a week to hit golf balls.
Interesting. I have to imagine Topgolf would be good for people who are maybe a little intimidated by walking into a normal golf course, but you can go practice a little bit. You could even take your kid over to Topgolf and, you know, everybody gets a little bit of practice and maybe even a comfort level. You hit one or two well and, okay, maybe the confidence level. I'm going to go over to Hagen Oaks now where maybe it's I'm not so... I don't know, self-conscious.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a gateway to actually enter the game. And they're doing some studies. I actually have a sister-in-law that works for them. And they're seeing some channeling from the digital golfer into real golfers. Mm-hmm. Right now, as a game as a whole, we have more juniors playing golf than we ever have before in our nation's history, which is a great sign. There's some new Little League type programs called PGA playing leagues that are growing hugely in popularity. Where we're losing them is as they go to college. And, you know, I think, you know, some things with college costs and debts and, you know, those kids, their disposable income of the 20-somethings is not like it was, you know, in my dad's era or, you know, that kind of stuff. And so we got to figure out how to better engage them once they get to earning a career.
Interesting. So you think about golf over the years. Here I am. You know, you go into some golf courses that are maybe have been around forever. You guys have, but maybe a private course that has rules. They're very uptight about their latitude toward what you dress like, you know, all this different etiquette that is, you know, part of the game and part of the tradition. And yet the guy that starts off at Topgolf having a Bud Light and then rolls over with the pizza over to jump on the course, he's not necessarily expecting to be all buttoned up like these traditional golfers, you know, were. So when we come on, so my question is, we come over to Hagen Oaks or we come over to Land Park or one of yours, are we, describe your level of uptightedness. That's a Markism.
Yeah, we're super loose.
Okay, you interesting.
Know, our shirt policy is that you have to wear one. You know, I mean, it's pretty
okay.
loose. I'll liken, we have a program called Foot Golf that we do both at William Land and at Hagen Oaks. It's kind of soccer golf, so to speak. We were actually the third one in the U.S. to put it in at Hagen Oaks. On our back nine on the Arcade Creek golf course there at Hagen Oaks, you actually can set a soccer ball on the first tee, and there is a hole that's roughly about probably 28 to 30 inches around, and you kick the ball down there, and you can actually play golf with a soccer ball, and there's 18 holes of foot golf in the nine holes of golf, and it takes about the same time. We actually have grandparents that play golf while their kids are playing foot golf.
Wow.
And let me tell you, you would have thought people would have lost their minds when we first brought that in there. I mean, that's way more unconventional than any shirt or,
yes,
you know, anything that you could possibly ever wear, you know, a pair of jeans. And the reality is that we're going through unconventional ways to introduce and bring people to the golf course to expose them to the game of golf. We have lots of foot golfers now that are avid golfers, and we have to get out of our own way in order to bring the game to the masses. And we're slowly but surely doing that. Being a municipal golf course, it's a far easier track for us to do that than some of the private clubs.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I'm the president of the Sacramento Entrepreneurs Organization, and we were discussing a team building event and thought about this foot golf.
Yeah.
I said, what is this? Well, I'm not a very, you know, I was good at kickball. I didn't play soccer. I'm more like a football guy. But do you have, okay, on that particular game, how important is it that you can kick a ball a long way?
It helps. Okay. But it's what's cool is that right now about 12 to 13% of the overall population is golfers. So if you're going to put on a golf tournament and you have, you know, 300 candidates that you're trying to play golf, you're only going to probably get 40 to 50 of them actually playing your golf tournament. Everyone can kick a ball.
True.
There is no level of entry. Whether you go out and shoot 100 or even par 72 on the foot golf course, you're not going to swing and miss it like you might if you're not a golfer. All of the hurdles and the fear of failure is totally out the window.
Is it like best ball with the soccer ball where you kick the ball out there and whoever gets whoever tees off, you play from his?
You can play it that way. And again, that eliminates even more of the fear of goofing up and being terrible at it. But we have, you know, soccer teams that are out there doing practices and end of the year team parties and birthday parties and all kinds of stuff. And it's been really unique. I think our highest, we played almost 10,000 rounds of foot golf on that nine holes golf course about a year ago.
Okay, so we only have a little bit of time left, but I got to dive into the family dynamics. You got you, your brother, your dad. It's this entrepreneurial family all around this great game of golf. How do you guys all get along? Are there ever times when it's like, one of you's got to put your foot down, put the hammer down to make change. Who's the hammer?
So my dad in a day-to-day operations isn't responsible for running any specific thing.
Okay.
But I say he is the rudder of the ship.
Okay.
If he wants it to turn left, we turn left eventually. But we, you know, the way we've done it, we actually have five owners. There's our president, Terry Dauber, and our head golf professional, Mike Woods. We all are owners. And what's cool is we kind of each have our own segments of the business that we run. Mm-hmm. Our president does our food and beverage. I kind of handle retail and marketing. My brother oversees all the player development and lessons portion. We're part of a First Tee of Greater Sacramento, which is the largest junior player development program in the country, and he helps oversee all of that programming. Mike Woods oversees all of the golf course operations. So while we're partners and each have a say, we kind of each have our own little land that we're overseeing. And we talked about, we have so many different businesses within the business that we can kind of not step on one another as we're doing our operations. So
I love it. Okay, so just final question. You think about Sacramento. You're a Sacramento guy. I'm a Sacramento guy. We love our town. What do you see in terms of like the future for Sacramento? Are you optimistic about how this town might be more than this government town? We're actually, it feels like it's changing before our very eyes. Thoughts?
Yeah, and I would agree with that. As business owners, we've got this dynamic with California, which makes business operating in California is not easy. Sacramento as a whole, we're seeing some dynamic development with, additional sports teams coming in, like with the soccer team and, things like Top Golf. And, they're talking about all kinds of development out at Cal Expo again. And, we're slowly but surely becoming a major metropolis and a site where people actually want to come to do business. And, as the Bay Area, it continues to price itself out of a lot of those different things, I think we're going to see more of that development come up here in Sacramento.
Ken Morton, he is the VP of Retail and Marketing at Morton Golf, operating all these golf courses and helping make Sacramento a great place to live. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Yeah. Thank you.